Hey fans, I'm Nase DeSanders of Borrowing Tape, and I'm here with Julian Kim and Peter S. Lee, the writer and directors of Happy Cleaners, an American drama about a family of Korean immigrants and their first and second generation Korean-American kids. Peter, Julian, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you for having us. Excited to talk to you.
I'm so glad. So let's start with the fantastic news. Your film is currently at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Congratulations. How does that feel?
Thank you. We're just thankful. We're excited, but we're very thankful to be, I guess, in that position.
Yeah, definitely surreal. Because you know, as any artist or storyteller, when you put out your work out there, there's always this lingering feeling of like, oh, what if people hate it, or what if people bash on it? But surprisingly, like so far, people have been very, I guess, supportive of it, and they're very positive reactions. And even like the negative ones, they always end with a little like, yeah, but it's worth a good story. So they're very like humbled and honored.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So this is a story of first and second generation Asian Americans and their immigrant parents, which is a very familiar story to us in real life, but almost non-existent on the big screen. So what made you two want to commit this recognizable American story to the screen?
Well, first, I just wanted to present experiences that's untold by mainstream media. And also it's to validate and celebrate our existence, you know, as immigrants, but also as Asian Americans. And ultimately, I would hope that through, you know, telling a very humanized story of real people, we are really, you know, hoping that we can and seek some unity in with everything that's happening in this country right now. And we want to create just some empathy, and hopefully it'll be, you know, bridge building.
Yeah, absolutely, especially with the current climate in the States. So do you guys see any of your own lives or your friends' lives reflected in the characters of Happy Cleaners?
Oh, for sure. It's a very intentional decision when we wrote the story to make it authentic and true and real as possible. And a lot of the research went into first our own personal experiences, but also like, you know, our friends or people we grew up with, and stemming from those character traits and experiences, and really inputting that into the film. And ultimately, that was like our priority, to make sure that we're telling an authentic and real story. So yeah, I mean, from basic things on the surface, things like I grew up a cleaner's kid, you know, Peter grew up with an immigrant blue collar working job, and you know, we had, you know, certain differences with our parents and pains growing up as in an immigrant household. So all of that, you know, is reflected into the film in a very personal and very, I guess, transparent manner. So yeah.
Fantastic. So the film takes place in, and seems to also have been shot in, Flushing, Queens. Was it important for you to shoot there?
Yeah, I mean, so yes, we were like absolutely dead set on making sure that the film is about our hometown, Flushing. And right, just because there are so many of these very real stories that happen there. But it's a way for us to, you know, pay homage to the community that shaped us. Really wanted to tell, you know, real stories. It's a very colorful and a multi, you know, dimensional, you know, place. And part of this was also our own personal journey of finding our identity, you know, what is it, you know, the meanings of our hometown, and ultimately, yeah, like our place in this country. And at the end of it, I think part of that journey, what we sort of come got was, you know, just having pride in what you're, where you come from. And then we want to own it and want to embrace it.
Absolutely, that's wonderful. So you both wrote, directed, and produced this film. So it sounds like a real passion project. Were there any hurdles to getting this film made?
I mean, with any indie films, it's always a big hurdle. I mean, yes, we did write, direct, and produce it, but we also were the caterer, we were also the driver, we were also the PA, we were everything. And But obviously, like, we had a big support from our community, and a big shout out to CreateAmericanStory.org for really supporting us in this film and connecting us to various people. So, you know, what we had was the biggest hurdle definitely has been the financial hurdle, but also like bookings and getting talents is a big thing when you come to filmmaking. So, you know, when you're in New York, a lot of the thing is basically you have to shoot on location. Like, we don't build sets, you know, we don't have like that kind of manpower to do so. So we have to work with what we have and to find in locations like specifically dry cleaners or a two bedroom house. Like, that's definitely been a challenge, but you know, the community really helped out. So when we reached out to like members of our community, being like, do you know anyone who has a cleaners, or do you know anyone with a two bedroom house where we can film for 21 days? They really, you know, came through. They're like, we could hook you up, we could connect you. And Korean American Story put out a campaign to obviously, you know, help with the production financing, but also with the food as well. So they had a Feed the Crew campaign where people could sign up to help feed our crew for one day or not. So a lot of people chipped into that. You know, they, you know, provided like lunch for, you know, our crew. And we were so blessed to try all these different kind of different food that you normally don't get on set, not like pizza and chickens all the time. It's really cool. So yeah, I mean, there were some big hurdles, but I think there were a lot of blessings in those hurdles and the way we tackled them and we approached them. So yeah, we were really blessed.
That's great. Could you tell us a little bit about was it a Kickstarter campaign or crowdsourcing? Do you guys have any tips mm-hmm. for the other indie filmmakers out there who want to try that method?
Yeah, definitely. I think what the biggest thing and what we found surprising was people really connected to the story. And I think when you're putting out a project out there, like especially like a Kickstarter campaign, like know the story you're telling. And kind of know who you want to reach out to. And I guess when we started the campaign, we definitely hit up all the Korean Americans and Asian Americans around the neighborhood and people who might be interested in chipping in. And surprisingly, like when we saw the list of donors, like they were all names we didn't recognize. Like they were just like, who are these people? Where are they coming from? How do they find out? But they were so driven by the story. They were driven by, you know, what we're trying to tell with Happy Cleaners that I think they're motivated to support. So I think if you have a project in mind, like definitely like know who you want to reach out to, who those people, if your project could speak to them and connect with them in a personal way. And yeah, I think you'll be surprised at how much support you can get just by telling a good story.
That's so awesome. Yeah. So back to you guys as writers. So you know, when you're in that writing headspace, what for you comes first, story or character? And then which approach was taken to writing Happy Cleaners? Mm-hmm.
So I guess I could start off with sort of the general thing, and maybe Julian could pick up on the specifics for Happy Cleaners. But generally, when we write, Julian and I, we just have long walks. Because for a while, pre-COVID, we both used to even were able to commute together. So that was a lot of just a lot of good conversations that would form the basis of the stories. But generally, we would have an overarching, you know, themes or general story arc, or you know, theme that we want to touch upon. But then we really develop the characters, because these characters have to be very real to us. And so we go into heavy like backstory writing. And then ultimately, once that's sort of ready, when these characters are presented with, you know, these situations about how are they gonna react and adjust to this, and we watch their lives unfold. So that's kind of our general process. But Julian can go deeper on our Happy Cleaners process.
Oh yeah, I mean, but for sure, like before even the character, during the long walks, we talk about, well, what story do you want to tell? You know, like that's very important. Like, I think when we first started off writing Happy Cleaners, we wanted to talk about, you know, and empowering basically our immigrant experiences and challenging what it means to be an American and that American narrative. So within that, we found characters first that what would identifying who are the strong characters that really defines what we're trying to tell in the stories. And I think that came down to Hani and Kevin, but also it was really important for us to make homage to our parents, you know? So like, yeah, they were a very crucial part in the story arc in the narrative. So once we had those set characters set in place, I think we were able to kind of pan out this and figure out all the moments and the scenes we want to tell in the whole narrative of Happy Cleaner. So we would jot down like any experiences that we had personally that we felt was really good to share, and then stitch it together, and then obviously put in conflicts and resolutions and all that stuff within Happy Cleaners.
Lovely. Those long walks sound great.
Yeah, very intimate walks.
So food is a big part of culture and is given extra mm-hmm. attention throughout the film. Can you tell us a little bit about that creative choice?
Well, first of all, food in the Asian culture is a way of saying I love you. So, you know, in this film, those words are never uttered, but it's been said so many times in the 96 minutes, and it's through food. And so that's why it's an integral character of the film. But we're very intentional about choosing dishes that are typically, you know, made and eaten at home, not the stuff that you would find at restaurants, or at least not as well known as your barbecues or the kimchis. And we just want to present, well, there's more. There's so much more. And here's a lot of these home-cooked food that we grew up in, and that's what we wanted to showcase in this film.
That's lovely. So which films or directors have influenced each of you as filmmakers, but also the film Happy Cleaners?
Yeah, so Peter and I, we always have this saying that I think the biggest influence we had for Happy Cleaners was K-drama. It was K-dramas, but not like the new ones coming out, but more of like the 90s, you know, kind of soap opera-ish, three-camera studio K-Korean dramas, and like the very family-oriented style. And I think, you know, because we have very fond memories of watching that with our parents, you know, it was like the only way we can see ourselves represented on screen, you know, and even though it takes place in, you know, our motherland, which, you know, we don't have much memory of, but it was still, you know, great to see someone who looked like us and who talked like us and who behaved like us playing out on TV. And it was a great time for us to really, you know, sit down together with our parents and watch like old, like Sagur, which is like Korean traditional, like historic dramas, and also like family oriented dramas. And that was a big influence in how we approached Happy Cleaner. So if you look at it, I think it's hard to tell, like, it's not too funny to be a comedy, but it's not too dark to be like a serious drama like Happy Cleaners. But I think Korean dramas are kind of like that. You have a mix of like humor and mix of drama. You could laugh, you could cry, and there's nothing like that. And I think that's probably one of the biggest influences that we had, and we wanted to make homage to when working on Happy Cleaners.
That's awesome. I definitely felt like I saw that influence there. I was definitely very into those older K-dramas when I was younger. So.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah. That's really cool. So are there any other cultural references or moments in the film that you think non-Korean Americans might miss in the film? If so, let us in on the secret.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the biggest, the most obvious one to us is there's a scene at the nail salon where mom and a coworker talks about Dor, which is first birthday for you know, Korean babies, and it's a cultural thing where at the first birthday, I think traditionally it was like you set a baby on the floor, and then there's various items like thread and money and I think like
basketball, a pen. Stethoscope.
But that's modern take. But traditionally, it was supposed to be that to symbolize either wealth, education, or long life.
Yeah,
but then parents just started to throw in whatever they want, like stethoscope or basketball or whatever, and then the baby would. And that's a joke. But I think it's one of those things where if you know about that, the lines that are said there are funnier. But yeah, it was interesting to see some folks seem to have still somehow made a connection and they got it.
Yeah.
Cool.
No, go ahead.
Oh no, if you have another one you want to share.
Oh no, I don't think I do. I was thinking really hard about it. I was like, oh, what is there? What is there? But I think Peter found the right spot, yeah.
Okay. So what is next for each of you? Any upcoming projects that you can let us in on?
Well, Julian's gonna do this amazing Western. No, it's a thing that, you know, he and I, there's like a Western that we've been like writing for the longest time as and a sci-fi as well. And it's just something that we've been developing, you know, all along, kind of like that one day when we have the bigger budgets to do these things. So that's kind of always been in the works for years. And of course, yeah, we're currently writing again so that we can come back with another feature film soon.
Yeah.
Awesome, that's super exciting.
Yeah.
All righty, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. It has been amazing.
Thank you, it's been an honor.
And good luck with the press tour for your film. Good luck with everything.
Yeah, hope everything's safe over there with the windstorm.
Yeah, thank you. Bye guys.
All right, bye.
Bye.